Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. We could be about any place, right? But the house of God is where we should be. Father, I truly do thank you for the saints who came out to sit in your presence this morning, to eat your fresh manna from heaven, to get a special touch from you, Lord, to have all their needs met. Now, Father God, we are expecting all these things to happen today. We thank you for your angelic host that's walking to and fro throughout these seats, ministering to your people. And Father God, as Carol Ann is sitting in the emergency room, we're asking that you send a holy angel to minister to her. And Father God, we ask that a healing touch is being given to her, and she's raised up out of this sick bed that she's in. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk this morning about there is still power. We walk around, you know, as Christians claiming there's power, but we don't use that power that is there. And Daniel 7:25 tells us that the devil comes to weary the saints. Daniel 7:25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law, then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. The devil is going to come after us, saints of God, until the day Jesus Christ takes us home. So you might as well just get used to that. Learn to fight. But not only learn to fight, learn to win the battle that you're fighting. Don't quit. Don't keep giving in to defeat all the time. And Luke 4:1 says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This is the devil talking to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The devil at one point sat in heaven with Jesus and the Father. And he's telling Jesus that he has the power and authority to give him whatever he wants. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered him and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. This is what the saints of God needs to get down in their spirit. When Satan comes to tempt you, get behind me, Satan. Instead of giving in to every temptation he brings your way, tell him, get behind me. Then Satan brought Jesus to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down here from here. You see, he kept saying, if you are. Satan knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but yet Satan was still trying to make Jesus believe he was not the Son of God. Now, don't you think he's going to do the very same thing to each one of you sitting here this morning? He's going to keep making you believe that you're not saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to make you believe that Jesus isn't, that God isn't on the throne, and that God is not going to come to your rescue whenever he comes after you, when Satan comes after you. What he did to Jesus, he's going to do to each one of us here this morning. Let's get that down in our spirit this morning. We are not exempt from any temptation of the devil. In fact, he likes you because you are so engrossed in God, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. See, the devil threw everything that Jesus that at Jesus that he had. But when Jesus didn't give in to anything that the enemy threw at him, the enemy said, well, I guess I'll go and leave him alone until an opportune time. Well, when was his opportune time? In the garden. The cross. That was his opportune time. So each one of you need to understand in here today that you have the same angels that are given charge over you that was given over Jesus. Read your word. The angels are there to work for us and to protect us and lead, guide, and direct us. So if Jesus was able to escape every temptation that the devil threw his way, why can't we? We're supposed to, we claim we have the same power, same authority that Jesus had, but yet we still get defeated at every turn. I really want you to think about this morning. 13 says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. How many times has God said to you, the enemy's finished tormenting you, but then the enemy heard that too, so he came back one more time to see if he could get you, and he did. All you had to do was say, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Or, get thee behind me, Satan, for God's already told me that you're finished tormenting me. Are you listening to this morning? But instead, we say, God, I thought you said that he couldn't get, that he was finished with me. And the minute you say that, there went the door open, and then he came to keep tormenting you. I want us to get this down in our spirit this morning, because I'm going to tell you what, guys, if you don't, you're going to get knocked off course. You know, Satan really is going to get you, and it's going to be the last time, and you won't be able to come back. So understand that he is out there. He's a tempter, and he tempts God, only God's children, because he's trying to steal you out of God's kingdom. He doesn't really like you at all, so don't get all puffed up because, you know, he's after you. He doesn't like you at all. He's after the God in you. He doesn't want God to have any saints. And he wants to take you to hell so he can really torment you because you had the audacity to speak against him here on this earth. So the enemy does grow weary in wicked doing. In other words, if we don't give up, if we keep pressing in, we will eventually outlast the devil. It's true. We will win the wrestling match against principalities, power, and likes. You read that in Ephesians 6:12. Let's read that again, Nancy. The enemy does grow weary in wicked doing. In other words, if we don't give up, if we keep pressing in, we will eventually outlast the devil. Eventually. Not right up front, but eventually. Because he's going to come after you and come after you and come after you. And just like God told me one time, his little pinions couldn't do anything. Satan himself has come after you. You know, he's going to throw all of hell at you. And when that doesn't work, he's going to come at you. And when he comes at you, believe me, he comes at you with everything he has. And you're going to have to know how to fight at that point. Because he's in there to kill you. All right? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And we go through one trial after another trial, and you know, after another trial, and finally we say, God, I can't do this no more. Yes, you can, because he's made a way for you to escape. But you don't understand. Yes, he does, but he still made a way of escape. Well, your son was only in the ministry 3 years, and then he went on. That's okay. He still made a way of escape. Job only went through his experience 90 days. That's all right. He still made a way of escape. See, I used all those excuses. That's why I can say that. No excuse stands before God. God has made a way of escape. We do not have to give in to the temptations of the enemy. We do so because we want to. We give in to the temptations of the enemy because we say, what's the use? Right? He's going to get me anyhow, so I might as well just go ahead and let him have me right now. That's a dumb statement. He's not going to get you unless you allow him to get you. You have to give him permission to get you. Because God's already told him they're mine and you can't have them. Now, if you go ahead and make God a liar, then that's on you. But God has already told Satan, you cannot have them. And this is why God says, don't look at your circumstances. Keep your eyes upon me and upon my promises. And quit looking to the right and to the left. Keep looking straight ahead, because straight ahead is your victory. It's not looking at all the circumstances around about you. All right? God, this is what God said now. My people were born as overcomers. They were not brought here at this given time to be defeated. They were brought here to be a covering for those who are wounded and defeated. They are to come with the blood that ran down Calvary's hill. I keep a little tablet on my desk and he tells me stuff. I write it down and make a sermon out of it. But this is what he said. I'd read it again. God said, my people were born as overcomers. They were not brought here at this given time to be defeated. Now listen. They were brought here to be a covering for those who are wounded and defeated. They are to come with the blood that ran down Calvary's hill. Then he said, there is no weakness in the blood. We worship in spirit and in truth, never to be brought to our knees by the enemy of our souls, but to rise up higher with every blow from the enemy. But see, that doesn't happen. We don't rise up higher. We go down and down and down. And then God said, then you become weak and then you become defeated. We have to rise up. Let's read that again. There is no weakness in the blood. Keep applying the blood of Jesus over you. God told me a couple years ago, daughter, always remember the blood. So every time I was in a trial, I always pleaded the blood. And this is what we have to do. There is no weakness in the blood. We worship in spirit and in truth, never to be brought to our knees by the enemy of our souls, but to rise up higher with every blow from the enemy. Remember what I told you whenever you're ministering to somebody? Never go to their level. Bring them up to your level. And hopefully you're somewhat higher than they are when you're ministering to them. Amen? This is why God said he wants us to go from glory to glory to glory, because he wants us to go higher and higher and higher. Transgressions have made those in the body weak, and that is why the enemy keeps coming in to steal, kill, and destroy over and over again. Now, I'm just going to give you a little bit of an example here. In my home, there's somebody who has decided they just can't stand the sight of me. They don't like the sound of my voice or nothing. And the other night, about 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, I woke up because God had just given me a vision. And I said, God, what was that? What was that all about? And this person that decided they don't like me living in my home, you know, they had walked down the steps and they walked over to the little bar I have there, you know, and they set up on the bar stool and they were all muscled, you know, and nice and handsome looking and had a smirk on their face and just sat up and sat down on that stool. And I said, God, why am I seeing this? He's because that's the demon inside of that person who's waiting to kill you. See, there's a demon inside, and this person thinks they're going to go to heaven, by the way, because they pray every night. But there's a demon inside that person just every day, talking and talking and talking, and not only in the house but to the neighbors. Anybody who listens, he runs me down. That person's in a lot of danger right now. But see, how many of you have people like that in your, you know, around about you, workplace or any place, that they have decided, that devil in them has decided, all right, now's the time to pounce, and I'm going to do everything I can to kill them. But guess what? I'm going to do everything to kill that devil and get him out of my face. Something in me has risen up and said, enough is enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of living under these circumstances when I don't have to. It's my house, right? And the enemy has no place in my house. And so, you know, you do have the power and authority through the blood of Jesus. And I do. I walk around smiling to myself. I said, you dummy. I plead the blood of Jesus over this whole situation. And you're already defeated and you think you're defeating me. You know? I'm going to tell you what else I said. Okay. So I said, transgressions have made those in the body weak, and that is why the enemy keeps coming in to steal, kill, and destroy over and over again. So we have to get out of our sins. Are you listening? We have to get out of our sins. Aren't you glad that Sister Teresa's teaching on emotions? Made me not feel guilty anymore when I get angry at that kind of stuff. Do you understand how many times I have, this is God speaking, do you understand how many times I have relented and given them one more chance to repent? First of all, he said, transgressions have made those in the body weak, and that is why the enemy keeps coming in to steal, kill, and destroy over and over again. Then he says, do you understand how many times I have relented and given them one more chance to repent? Do you really look at your life and say, God, you have been with me, your grace and your mercy and your long-suffering, and you've just given me chance after chance after chance. But remember when I told you that God said that, he told me one day, remember Samson. You know, God's given you chance after chance after chance, but you know what happened to Samson? He stayed in his sin, and he got up one more time and shook his hair, but he had no strength. One day you're going to stand up and there's not going to be any power, no authority, because God has left you. God didn't tell me that for just to be talking. He's showing me that we all in the body of Christ think we can still do little tiny things and then say, God, forgive me, and get up and still have our same anointing. And one day it's not going to be there. Get it in your spirit. Don't think you can keep getting away with the things you've been doing, because one day God's going to walk away from you. What, you know what happened to Samson? He gouged his eyes out, put him in prison, mocked him, did all kind of terrible things to him. But one day, he said, God, let me revenge my enemies. Avenge my enemies. His hair had grown back. Still blind. And the enemy thought, we got him. We're going to mock him. We're just going to ridicule him today. But God allowed Samson and his power and his strength to bring down that temple and kill the people. He died too, of course. But let's not be like Samson. Let's not keep doing the same sins over and over again, just thinking, oh, well, God's grace. That's sloppy grace. God's grace, he's gonna forgive me. He's going to let me go and do this thing, but one day he won't. He's already said he's going to pull his grace. He's going to pull his grace. 2 Samuel 24:16 says, and when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction. Remember, I just read to you, do you understand how many times I relented and give them one more chance to repent? So I'm just showing you some scriptures where God does relent. The Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of the Jebusite. Do you see that God's angels were sent to do the destruction? You know, people say, oh, that isn't God doing this. You know, but no, it isn't God. It's the angels instructed by God to go do it. So they're half right, right? But we need to understand that God, you know, he's full of love, grace, mercy, long-suffering, you know, and everything. But he's also a God of wrath. And there does come a day when God says, all right, I've had enough of this. And I'm going to now show you that I'm God. You as parents, you let your kids test you over and over and over again. And finally you say, okay, that's enough. And then they know that you're the parent. And this is the same way God, he's our parent, you know. He's our father, right? So let's go to 1 Chronicles 21:13. And David said to Gad, this is when David numbered the people. And David said to Gad, I'm in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. You know, God gave him the option. You can either fall into my hand of judgment, or you can fall in the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. Who did this? The Lord, because of what David did. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, "It is enough, now restrain your hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." Therefore the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Do you understand how many people are suffering because of your sin? See, you sin, and then those round about you have to suffer. But see, David was a man, and he said, "God, it's my fault and not theirs. Don't let them die." Many parents have children who are out there in terrible sin, and the reason is because you yourself are in sin. And you won't quit your sin, you won't repent of your sin, and so now your sin nature has gone down in your children, and your children are paying for what you have done. Sad. And I'm watching parents who, they're running their children down, let's say because they're alcoholics, or because they're on drugs, or because they're lazy, or whatever it is, and yet that parent is still doing drugs and still drinking. They won't relent. They won't repent. They won't relent and to stop the plague from being upon their children. Yet they're crucifying their children, but yet they're not saying a thing about their own sin. This is not right. God is not pleased with any of this. Parents, you first of all, you've got to get yourself straight. You must stop your sinning. You must go before the Lord. You must repent. You must get yourself right so that your children, so that the enemy doesn't have any place in your children. Parents that are on drugs and do drugs around your children are going to do drugs. You know, somebody came in my house, a parent came into my house last night, and they were using that terrible word. And when I was putting the baby to bed, their son, he was laying there saying that word. So next time I see him, I said, "You won't ever use that word in my house ever again. Whether outside, use it. I don't care where you're at. You're not using it my property. You're not using my house." And this young baby is saying it. And what am I going to do when I have him out in public and he says that word? The sins of the father going down on the children. You know, and then they smack up alongside the head and say they need to listen. Well, maybe I should have smacked you up alongside the head when you were smaller. Maybe you wouldn't be doing the things you're doing today. You know what I'm saying? You weren't treated like that, so why are you doing this? You know, you were given a good example of what God-like living is all about. Then I'm not the parent either. You really need to stop and think about what you're doing, because your children are going to suffer for it. I hope and I pray this morning that you decide to go before the altar of the Lord and tell him you're so sorry for your sins. And please don't let them come down on your children any longer. Somebody has to take a stand. And your children are already messed up, so they don't know to take a stand. So why don't you, the one who caused the sin, you take the stand. You become a man or a woman of God. Or I don't just become a man or a woman, period, and stand up and say, "Father, I was wrong. I sinned. And my children were born in sin. But I want this thing to stop. And I'm repenting and asking you to forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Then cleanse my children." Amen. The power is still in the cross. The power is still in the blood. The power is still in the name of Jesus. The power is still in the cross. The power is still in the blood. The power is still in the name of Jesus. So we have power for today. We have power for today. If you only knew how close we were to the end of this dispensation, in the beginning of the greatest event that the church is ever going to experience, if you really understood what was going on, I know you wouldn't be living the life you're living. Because you're not living the way God wants you to live. You're not living the holy, sanctified life that God wants you to live. One day you're up, living for God with all you have. Next day you're down. One day you know God's just the best thing living. Next day you wonder why you're even serving Him. And you're acting like the devil. This should not be. We should be the same 24 hours a day. We serve a God who is strong. He does not waver. We should be children who do not waver, and we should be strong. We should be that way in our walk with Him. So that when people look at us, they see God. Just like when we was at the picnic, I said, I know we have to clean up after ourselves, but I still told the people it should look better when we leave than it was before we came. Because we are children of God here representing Jesus. That's, you know, everything you do should be better than anything. Because you're a child of God. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. You are the one that's serving Jesus. You're the one that's giving your heart to Him. You are the one that people's watching. They're not watching your sister and your brothers. They're watching you because you're professing that you're a child of God. I always said, when you're out there acting like the devil, don't tell anybody you go to the Lighthouse Church. I don't want anybody to think that I condone that kind of behavior. Amen. Why isn't a church full of people? I'm talking church worldwide. It's because the world is watching the church and the church doesn't have anything to offer. But all that's going to change. Because when God brings that glory drop, things are going to change and change drastically. And then the world's going to want what we have. Had I become a born-again believer, always went to church, but a born-again believer, because I saw a heathen friend change overnight, and I wanted what she had. And I got it, a born-again experience. So do people look at you and want what you have? Ask yourself that. Do they look at you and want what you have? If not, then there's something lacking within inside of you. You're not showing the power that we're supposed to be showing. The Apostle Peter was made of flesh and blood just like the rest of us. Yet he wielded spiritual authority over the devil. And we know that he fell, but he got back up. He didn't stay down. When he got back up, he was stronger than he was before he fell. Yet he wielded spiritual authority over the devil. In Acts 3:6, he said to the lame man at the temple gate, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man was healed. Why don't we see that? Why can't we say rise up and walk? Why can't we say the blind eyes be healed and be opened? Are we lacking something? Now, we aren't always lacking something. Now, these are just things I want you to think about. Are we lacking something? Are we not using the power and authority that was in the cross and in the blood and in the name of Jesus? Think about this now. Is there something inside of you that still the devil still has a hold of and you can't really wield that power that we're supposed to have? Is your love walk right? You have to ask yourself all these questions. Now, after I said all this, I'll tell you this too so you don't all feel condemnation. God told me quite a while back that he had taken healing out of the church because the people were trampling all over the Spirit, but he was going to bring healing back into the church. And my cry every day is, God, bring it back into the church, you know, into the people. The church is the people. So that whenever we go forth, we pray for people that they will be healed and others will see this and they'll want what we have. Amen. So you can still have the power. And even when you pray, the person might not be healed. But it's not you. It's just God. God is still in control. I don't care how much faith we have. God is still in control. I want you to always remember that. In other words, if you're praying for somebody to be healed and they don't get healed, don't think there's something wrong with you. If you know you're living right, don't think there's something wrong with you. God is still God, and there's a purpose behind this whole thing. And don't ask me what it is, because I don't know. Because I'm not God. And you don't know how frustrated I get at times with God. God, I preach about this, and I say we have the faith, we have the power, we have the authority. Why are you not doing this? Quiet. No answer. When he feels like telling me, he will. Amen. It was a Janine that we're praying and praying for, and we see her getting sicker and sicker. Do you know how upset I am about that? All right, the religious leaders of the day recognized this power in Peter and asked him, by what power or by what name have ye done this? You find that in Acts 4:7. See, people should see the power and authority in you. And they should say to you, what's different about you? How can you do this? And you smile and say, it's all about Jesus. It's all Jesus, not me at all. It's all Jesus. And the anointing should be following you wherever you go so that miracles just happen and it'll just blow your mind. Things will begin start to happen and you haven't said a word. You just walked into a room or you just went and touched somebody, you know, and they got healed. That's the power and authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Nowhere does the Bible suggest that the same power isn't meant for us today. When did the Lord ever say to his church, I've helped you so far, now you're on your own? He's never said that. See, what I want each one of you in here to understand tonight is that whenever, I think it's been about 15 years ago when God withdrew his Holy Spirit from the churches and all the signs, wonders, and miracles ceased. It was because people were mocking the Holy Spirit and they were turning the things of God into unjust things. And so God told me, he said, I have to remove my Holy Spirit so my people understand who I am. And so we've been through 15 years of a very, very dry place. And I don't know about you, but I don't like dry places with God. What kind of God would empower his people in the wilderness when they needed it? Would empower Israel's kings, the prophets like Elijah? I've done something wrong here. I've got two pages. And he empowered the crowds at Pentecost and then withhold it from the last day's church when we need it more than any generation. I'm going to read that again. What kind of God would empower his people in the wilderness when they needed it? Would empower Israel's kings? Would empower prophets like Elijah? The crowds at Pentecost? And then withhold it from his last day's church when we need it more than any generation? And if you stop to think about that, you who do deliverances, God said we're no longer, you know, working with just little demons, and we had to do exercise because we're working with the bigger demons. So if we're working with bigger demons, then we definitely need the power of God. And we can see how the gross darkness is covering the earth. And we need that power of God working through us stronger now than it ever has. You people who have just come into this thing in God, and this movement of God, and God's using you and God's anointing you. The reason why this is happening is because, and I'm going to preach on this tonight, God said the first will be last and the last first. The church has rejected God. And so he said, I'm going to go in the highways and the byways and I'm going to compel them to come in. So he went out there and he got the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the prostitutes, the whoremongers. He brought them into the house of God and lo and behold, he cleaned you up. Now he's using you with great signs, wonders, and miracles because the church didn't want to do it. So if I was you, I would be rejoicing, and then rejoicing, then rejoicing again, because you were chosen, because the church didn't want God. They didn't want to walk in holiness. They didn't want to walk in purity. They didn't want to give up anything. So God said, that's fine. I can find somebody else to take your mantle. I can find somebody else to do the works I've called you to do. You just go ahead and do your thing your way, and I'll just move on. And this is what God has done. Even though you'll read all kind of prophetic words saying that's not true, it is true. That's what God has done. He's shook the church. The church was shaken. Those who wanted him remained, and those who didn't are still sitting there wondering what's going on. And God moved on. Now, your job is to get out there and do the job that the church wouldn't do. Your job is to get out there and trust and believe the Father, walk in total and complete faith, use the power that God has given you, and go ahead and let great signs, wonders, and miracles occur. Now, what we're going to see is a bunch of people that are so excited for God that they get a little bit whoopee. And they start doing a little bit of dumb things. But that doesn't make them any less God's chosen people. It doesn't make them any less empowered by God. It just means they just got all beside themselves. And then they just do a little bit of dumb things. So what you do is you gently and quietly prod them in the right direction. Let them know what you just went a little bit too far that way. And I'm not saying, you know, everybody, I don't want nobody not to be excited about God. That happened to somebody. Everybody tried to set on me. So I'm never going to set on you. But I will let you know if you're just going to get a little bit crazy, all right? And by that I mean you really aren't no longer doing the will of the Father. You're doing a little bit of what your flesh wants done. But God wants everybody in this room to be excited for him. He wants you to be so excited for him that all you want to do is work for him. And, you know, and you don't care where he calls you to work. You're just going to work. And if he speaks and tells you to do something, no matter how crazy it sounds, you're just going to go ahead and do it. Now, see, when I first started, you know, I had a prayer line. You know, it was in my home. And God said, shake that lady as hard as you can shake her. And I said, I can't shake her. And I didn't shake her. And afterwards, she says, they were really close. They were my praise and worship leader. She said, Mom, why didn't you shake me? I know God told you to shake me. If you would have shaken me, I'd have been free, but I'm not free. I'm bound still. Then I read Robert Laren's book where he said these three real rich ladies come up for his prayer line, and God, you know, how they had their hair in those days all poofed up and all the pins in their hair. And God said, shake them really good. And he said, I can't shake these ladies. I said, shake them. So he shook them as hard as he could. Their hair, pins flew out of their hair, and their hair fell down. And they went out in the spirit, and they were wonderfully and completely saved and sanctified. All right? So if God tells you shake somebody, shake them, you know. And God's told me hit them in the stomach, and I have learned to do that, you know. I just learned to do that, and healing is taken. But only do it if God tells you. This is what I mean by being crazy. Oh, well, I heard her say you hit somebody in the stomach. And then do. No, you only do what you hear what God say. All right? I think one time God told me hit somebody in the head with a microphone, and I did. You know, so, you know, whatever God tells, but make sure it's God, because we don't want, you know, okay, so some people, when they first got, you know, born again and got excited, got in the Holy Spirit, they wanted to do what they saw other people doing, so they try to make things manifest, and like one girl threw herself on the floor and put her feet up near and was kicking the wall. Now, that was no more God than the wall is, you know, that was a deep desire to want God to be moving through her. So we didn't mock, we didn't make fun. We let her do it, and then later on we told her, you know, that wasn't God, that was just you. Don't try so hard to have God move through you. He will move through you. All you have to be is just be a willing vessel that he can work through. That's all you have to do. Then God will start telling you what to do to people. All right? According to Scripture, Satan's power has increased in our day. Revelation 12:12 says, the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. A couple years ago, God gave me that scripture, and I happened to say it in front of another pastor, and he said, don't you ever say that again, because the devil is not down here. The devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but short time. What the devil has done is come down to you, trying to kill you. He knows he has to do the work real quick, because if he doesn't, you're going to tear his kingdom down. That's what that's all about. Question, why would God permit Satan to attack a weak, powerless church that has no defense? He wouldn't allow that. His people have never lost access to his divine power. He will allow the enemy to come and attack a church because he knows you have that divine power in you, and what you have to do is use it. When the enemy attacks this church, the intercessors in here get together and say, we need to find out what is wrong here, why he has an open door to attack us. Sometimes there is no open door. He's just attacking. And we have to defeat him. We have to make him stop his shenanigans. Amen. Give your daughter a napkin and take her gum from her, please. But so saints of God, you have to understand that God allows you to be tested. He does. God allows you to be tested. So quit getting all upset when you're tested. Go ahead and be tested and get done with it. Go through it. Go through it. Don't be caught in the middle of it and die there. Just do what you know you've got to do. All right, so unfortunately, a number of Christians have a messed up idea of spiritual authority. This is especially true in charismatic circles. There are a series of power conventions where preachers lay hands on people to endow them with an anointing of spiritual authority. You know, they'll say, you come up here and I'll lay hands on you and you'll receive this, and this, all right? Yet when the recipients return home, their efforts against the devil still fail miserably. They end up asking the same question the disciples asked Jesus. Why couldn't we cast out these spirits? Now, you have to understand this. You can't obtain supernatural power simply by having someone lay hands on you. When I call you up here, I say, I'm not laying hands on you. It's coming from God. Now, if you can't receive it without me laying hands on you, then you're not going to get anything. You have to have faith to know that when I call you up here, because God tells me what to call you up here for, and I say, raise your hands up, and God's going to give you that anointing, then it's God that's given you the anointing. And I believe me, I'm not going to tell you something that I'm not hearing from God, because I'm not going to stand up here with egg in my face as y'all stand there looking at me like, oh, okay, so what's going on now? So don't go around laying your hands on everybody and say, I give you this and I give you that and I give you the other. You can't give them anything. There is a time you should lay hands on people, but there's also a time when you need to let God's anointing go through them. All right? Don't say, don't go around telling everybody, Pastor Barbara said you shouldn't lay hands on people. No, I didn't say that. I'm saying there's too many people that, there are churches, there are groups that have conventions and everything and tell you that when you come, they're going to lay hands on you and you're going to receive this, and this. And no, you're not. You're not. God is the one who falls upon you. God is the one who gives you. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are times when I know somebody's really bound up after the service. I'll go hug them and I'll say, God, every bit of anointing that's in me, I release into this person. Please give that anointing to them so they can work through this thing that they're going through. Or I'll say, I release the anointing into them that's in me because I know there's an anointing there. Please set them free with this anointing. Now, I do that. But I don't do that in a prayer line. In a prayer line, when God calls you up here, it's God that wants to place himself within you, not my hands. You don't know where people's hands have been anyhow, right? They might have been dabbling in sin before you walk up and they lay hands on you. I want you to be wise, saints. I want you to have the wisdom of God within you and to know when it's God and when it's not God. And, you know, sometimes people come here with a religious spirit and they can't receive anything. So what has to happen is we have to bind the religious spirit and try to set them free from the religious spirit. And I say try because some people like a religious spirit and they're not going to let go of it. So when we try to get you set free from your religious spirit, you know, when I was really young and wild in here, we'd have a prayer line, and you know, and people wouldn't receive. And I'd say, you have a religious spirit. You just have to get rid of it. And then Brother Chris said, remember, you shouldn't say that. But that was the truth. People have religious spirits, and they can't receive the power from God. They can't receive the good things from God. You know, and I'm just one, you know, hey, I'm matter of fact. This is the way it is. You know, you're either walking in the spirit or you're not. You're either wanting to receive or you're not. Just like one day God told me to call, I think it was Brett Allen, excuse me, and God talked, gave them a powerful prophetic word. I said, all right, goodbye now. And Brett said, I can't believe she hung up like that. Well, God was finished. God was finished. Now, them two were just supposed to sit and relish in what God said. See, this is what upsets me, too. And I want you guys to think about this. If I ministered to you, or Brett does, or if, you know, or Brother Chris does, if we minister to you, then after the service, you all want somebody else to minister to you, what's your problem? That's a religious spirit that just wants to show off. God does what he wants to do at the altar. Now, if you can't come to the altar and receive them, why do you sit back and want to wait till afterwards? There's something in you that just wants special attention. And if there's somebody wanting to pray over you, there's something in them that wants to look important. I'm just telling you, you're all leaders. Now, you can either receive this you or not. If you're just getting upset about it, well, then go change your diaper, you know, and grow up. You have to know what you're doing when you get out there with the devil. And you know, I can't understand why you keep wanting to be prayed with everybody in the church. You want everybody in the church to pray over you. What? You wait to see. I can tell you what you're doing. You want to hear what you want to hear, and you haven't heard it yet. That's why that goes on. God did not say to you what you wanted to hear, and you know what? What you wanted to hear, God wasn't going to tell you. But if you keep pushing that thing, God will use another prophet to lie to you. That's in the Word. If you really want to hear something bad enough, God will let you hear it, but it's not from God. Are you listening here this morning? God is training you people how to get out there and work against the devil. Now, you either receive this and become true leaders, strong leaders, leaders that the devil won't ever be able to pull down, or you won't receive it, and you go out there and you get defeated at every turn. All right, let me finish this about laying on hands. It isn't a gift. It's a way of life, of walking with Jesus. And not everyone who asks for such authority will suddenly be changed into a spiritual powerhouse. I called people up here one time and did receive a certain thing from God. And this one person stand there and they said, I looked at him, I thought, well, what do you want? Well, I heard this. And this is what I want. Well, that might be what they want. And they didn't really hear that, but that's what they wanted. So I said, God, just give her whatever they want. I just laid a hand on it and went on. Because I know what God spoke to me, what he told me to call you people up for. Now, seeing somebody wants to have more power than they can carry right at that point. And so they say, I heard God tell me this is what you should do for me. The saints, don't do that. God will keep giving you power little by little by little. Now, see, I was just the opposite when I started. Whatever the preacher was preaching about, I wanted. God would say, don't go up there. And I'd go up there anyhow because I wanted what they had. Some of you have heard this story many times. And so when I went up there, well, like with Kenneth Hagin, I was up in Baltimore somewhere in a great big theater. That place is packed out. I was clear up in the balcony, had to walk all the way down there. And God said, don't go down there. You already have what he told you you're going to get. Well, I thought to myself, I'm going down and get it. Everybody that went down there went out in the spirit except me. I was standing there with egg in my face. And God said, I told you not to come down there. You already had it. One time, Frances Hunter, she was there, and she was saying, you can get the healing power. Come on down. I'll lay hands on you, and you get the healing power. So I went. God said, don't go. See, you have to listen to the voice of God. Don't go. You already have that. I went anyhow. Two things happened to me. One, A big, heavy-set lady who was clear on the other side of the room got thrown over, landed on me and broke my ribs. And Frances Hunter said, what are you doing up here? God told you not to come. You already have the gift of healing. So what do you want to know the truth, or do you want to walk in the Spirit? If God tells you, don't go up there, you already have that, then don't go up there, you already have it. And I've even said that to a couple of people, you already have it, you don't need it. And they look at me, well, I want it. You already have it. And I wouldn't tell you you already had it. So you don't understand me. When I just blurp something out, that's not me. That's God speaking through me. You have to really have to learn to know me. And so when I tell you something, it's God speaking to you, not me. And if I say you already have it, then you have it. You know, just start working in it. See, and this is what I had to do. I had to start realizing, all right, that was God speaking to me. I do have the gifts inside of me. And just start using them. All right? You're going to get embarrassed if you don't listen to the voice of God. I promise you that. And you aren't going to like, but you talk about being embarrassed standing up here and you're the only one not going out in the Spirit with all those people. And the girl before me got, she had a devil and she got stiff as a board and they carried her out underneath her arm like a piece of wood. And then there was me. When he went by me, I didn't get nothing. So I'm just standing and I'm thinking, don't they probably think I have a devil too. You can do whatever you want, but you know, I'm just here to tell you that I've been through it and done it, and I'm just trying to teach you. And, you know, it's no skin off my nose if you listen or not. I know what I'm anointed to do. I know what I'm called to do, and I'm called to make leaders out of you people. I'm called to teach you and train you so that you can go out there and not have to go through the pitfalls I went through. Amen. All right, God also said it is time to reach the unreachable and touch the untouchable. You're not going to be able to do that if you don't sit under some teachings. You're not going to be able to do that. Well, I should say, you're not going to be able to do that if you don't learn from what you're taught. Let's put it that way. If you don't get it down in your spirit and you know, meditate on it, chew on it, do whatever you want to with it, but get it deep down in your spirit and let it become a reality to you. And right now, you know, there's things going on in the atmosphere, guys, that if you aren't watchful with what God is telling you, you're going to miss God right now. I hope you read the story in the bulletin because it's very, 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 very encouraging. It's not a story, it's a prophetic word from God, from another person. Don't read it now, wait till you get home and read it. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now, a lot of things. Gross darkness, and it's getting darker and darker and darker. But we are not to concentrate on that. So let's not be talking about, oh, things are so bad. No, tell them of the glory and the power of the Father. If they say, well, things are bad, but God is in control. You know, don't feed into them talking about the negative stuff. Tell them God's in control. Tell them how God loves them. And you'll keep reinforcing all the positive things in them. You shouldn't be worried about what's going on in the world because God said if we were close to Him, so close nobody could come between Him and us, He was going to take care of us. And I'm not telling you not to lay up food. But you know, if God said He's going to take care of us, He's going to feed us. And all of us could go on a diet, right? You know, if he can feed the birds, do you ever watch the birds? You know, we go out and buy bird feed. It's really expensive. Put it in little bird feeders, you know, and make sure the cats don't eat them and this and that and the other. And God uses us to take care of the birds. So God can use anybody to take care of us, or He can, just like He did the prophet, He can use a raven to bring you your food. So if a big raven lands on your roof with something in his mouth, just take it. God sent him to feed you. It's you in the Word. Let's just be down-to-earth Christians. Let's just be people of God who believe every word the Bible says. And I don't know how many scriptures I read last night said, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So little children just trust. They just trust. They just know that you're going to take care of them. They know that whenever you ask for something, they're going to get it. And if they don't get it, they're going to cry until they get it. Amen. So God says, contend with me. So if we don't get it, keep contending like a little child does. All right, God, here comes your spoiled, rotten brat. And I'm not going to let you go. Do I get what I want? Make sure it's good for you. Come on. Why can't we become like little children? You know, I'm an adult, well, only in your mind. You don't act like one. So if you're going to act like a little kid, why don't you just become like a little kid with God? And just go to him and crawl up his lap and say, Daddy, here I am. Like little Isaiah woke up at 4 o'clock and said, I want a yummy. And I'm thinking, what is he talking about? Pointing at the TV set. And then I said, just lay down, Isaiah. You've had me up most of the night and I'm tired. I need to get some sleep. I want a yummy. Well, I just left him yummy. But what he wanted was one of those little vitamins that we have sitting beside the TV. But 4 o'clock in the morning, and really what it was, I think he just having a little bit of a bad dream. He was so tired and he just kind of wakes up and he wanted a yummy. But that's what we do with God. But God, I want a yummy. I want a miracle. You know, when you're praying, I want a yummy right now. I want a miracle, Lord. I just want a yummy. I want you to come down here and I want you to financially bless this person. And just be spoiled. Don't leave until he gives you what you ask for. Amen? Come on. God is good. He really is good. I lost my place. All right, I finally know why Paul did what he did in his walk with God. He knew what it was like to work for the enemy and how the enemy used his vessel to kill God's chosen people. When you are using your vessel to kill, there is no love there. You know, God just gave me this revelation last week when I was sitting there, and he said he had no love in him because all he wanted to do was kill. He thought he was doing the right thing. Then when God called Paul, he felt the love and resurrection power of a God that truly loved him, even though he once was used by the enemy, and he counted it all joy to suffer for Christ. Because who was Paul killing? He was killing God's people. But Paul knew what he did, and Paul knew that God called him to do work for him, and he was just all beside himself. All right, you guys, you've been out there in the world. You did your thing for the world. You did your thing for the devil. Now God has God's come to you. He's called you. Now he wants you to get excited that he called you, and he wants you to do a great works for him. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Why don't you work as hard for God as you did for the devil? Because I know some of you, and you worked really, really, really hard for the devil. You were a good vessel. And he didn't want to lose you. The devil didn't. But he knows he has to let go because God has called you. He knows he can't hold on to you. But he'll make you think that you'll never work for God. He'll try to make you think that. The power is still on the cross. The power is still in the blood. The power is still in the name of Jesus. My question to you is, what are you doing with that power? Come on. I'm hearing God say, it's a wake-up call. It's time that this body right here, not the body all over the world, but this body right here, that you wake up and you understand that God is in control. The devil is not. We're all going to suffer. Let's not feel sorry for each other and just pray for one another. You know, your pity doesn't do anybody any good, does it? But prayer will kill the enemy. So when we have a problem, all we need to do is call on the intercessors. Call on your friends who love you and you know we're going to pray for you. But guess what? Before you ever do that, God's already laid upon people's heart to pray for you. He already knows beforehand. Like I prayed for somebody the other day, and Sister Nancy woke up to pray for that same person. And I asked him, I said, what were you doing such a time? I was sleeping. And I said, well, God woke two of us up to pray for you. I said, what we did was we kept the enemy from doing something to you while you were sleeping. Because he's on the street. See, God knows all things. Will you really get that in your head? No, God knows all things. The devil knows a lot too, but he doesn't know all things. Only God does.